Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul's. Here Christ is in all things as we receive and give the love and hope of Christ. This morning we remember St. Michael and all angels. So in the sermon we'll be sure to talk about Jesus.
The Old Testament reading appointed for our feast of St. Michael and all angels is recorded in Daniel chapters 10 and 12. Behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for the days yet to come. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in Revelation, chapter 12. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with them. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the Alleluia and the reading of the gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come. But woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. With grateful songs forevermore. That's what we just sang, right? So let me just get you there ahead of time. In your hymnal, page 223. We're going to go there. In your hymnal, page 223. In a few minutes, we're going to sing together with the seraphim and the cherubim and all the heavenly hosts. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. We're going to sing that. That was part of the divine service found on page 15 in the hymnal I grew up with. Maybe you remember that hymnal. We called it the hymnal because there was only one at the time. Now we call it the Lutheran hymnal, or TLH, the one published in 1941. On the Sundays, the rare Sundays that we didn't have communion growing up, we had a different service in the hymnal that we sang through. And it started on page 32, not 5. Page 32. Page 32 was the service of matins. And that service of matins has largely unchanged been saved in this hymnal. So let's look at page 223. This is the Te Deum, or the To God, as we give praise on page 223. Let's sing together one of these grateful songs forevermore. Let's sing verses 1 and 2. Allison? Did you catch it? Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. I grew up singing both of these. So week in and week out, whether we had communion or we didn't, as long as I can remember as a kid, I sang of the Lord God of Sabaoth. What does this mean? If you'd have asked me as a kid, I probably would have said, well, he's God on Sunday. Like the Sabbath. That's not what it means. It's actually a Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew word, Tzavaoth. And the title is Yahweh Tzavaoth. That is, he is the Lord of armies. He is the commander-in-chief, the general Patton of all the heavenly angelic armies, of all the powers of the earth that dwell therein. He's in charge of it all. This title is sometimes translated in your scriptures as Lord Almighty or Lord of Hosts. It seems fitting then that we would start this meditation on the festival of St. Michael and All Angels by addressing the one who is in charge of them all. And the readings appointed for today certainly give us a clear picture of the future we have in this Yahweh Tzavaoth. We are told that Satan and his angels are defeated. The Lord, through his servant Michael and his angels, threw them out of heaven. Yet when we look around at the world, today we see war and poverty and suffering and disease and sickness and death. And sometimes it doesn't seem as if the Lord has secured a victory at all. If the Lord has really won the war, then why so many hardships and problems in our world? Well, Revelation tells it like this. Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath. And yet, while the Satan stands defeated, he knows his time is short. The readings for today also speak of the existence and the purpose of the angels. Angels are the Lord's created spiritual beings. They are a totally different kind of creature from humans. That is to say, you're not angels, you never will be angels. You're humans, you always will be humans. We good there? Angels themselves repeatedly refuse to let humans worship them because that tends to be the response when a human being comes in contact with a holy angel. They either fall down like dead men or they want to worship it. And the angels won't allow that. What else we know about the angels from all of Holy Scripture is precious little. So here's the basics. You ready? I'm going to give it all to you, so buckle in. The cherubim, well, they are, according to Ezekiel, all eyes and wheels and wings, and they guard God's glorious throne. The seraphim, they are, according to Daniel and Isaiah, the troubadours touting the thrice holy God, the Yahweh Tzavaoth we just sang of, such that when they sing, the doorposts of heaven shake. Yahweh Tzavaoth also has mighty ones, warrior angels, one of which could slay 185,000 Assyrian assassins in just one night. Ooh. Archangels who seem to have a leadership role amongst the angels. And then there's those angels, you know, the messenger angels, because that's what the word angel actually means, is messenger. Those ones who stand before the Father and see His face, speaking His word. None of the holy angels would ever speak anything contrary to Scripture. They fight Satan with the Lord's word. When Satan was cast down from heaven, the text from Revelation tells us how that happened. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. St. Michael is said to have fought Satan simply by saying, "The Lord rebuke you." I kind of want to watch that fight. Satan and his evil angels are defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of Christ. The same way Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness temptation with the word of God. The angels, you see, didn't defeat Satan because of their own might. The angels proclaimed Christ's word and the enemy was thwarted. Satan is still defeated by that word of God today. Yes, every time the Lord's word is preached in truth and purity, the Lord God of Tzavaoth breaks and hinders Satan's evil plans. Still, the enemy is not done. He's not done provoking and prodding and posturing and proposing poisonous lies that veil the victory already accomplished. Satan, you see, is the accuser. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. The Lord's word has silenced his mouth and cast him out of heaven. Yet the father of lies, while he can no longer accuse you before the Lord, he certainly accuses you to yourself.
In the gospel lesson of Luke 10, Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Our Lord Jesus has authority over that ancient serpent, Satan, that great dragon. And when the old evil foe led our parents, Adam and Eve, into deadly woe, into sin, it was the of Sabaoth Lord who promised a deliverer, who promised that one would come who would crush the head of the serpent. When Jesus shed his blood and died on a cross, Satan was not just thrown out of heaven. Jesus' death crushed the head of the serpent. Satan's power over us was destroyed. The blood of the Lamb does more than simply defeat the enemy. Jesus says in Luke 10, verse 20, "You may rejoice that your names are written in heaven." That's a sure thing. When Satan harasses you and whispers doubt in your mind, when he seems to be able to convince you that you're just overwhelmed by the overwhelmingness of life and its overwhelmingness. So how's that for word salad? Remember, the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony declared to you, your name is written in heaven. The Lord God of Sabaoth will drive away by his word the enemy. Believe and trust in your Lord's promise that your name is written in the book of life. It's a sure thing. But Pastor, how can you be so certain that my name is written in heaven? Quite simply, because Jesus said so. Jesus told you that your name was written in heaven when you were baptized. There the Lord God of Sabaoth has declared, everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. He has spoken, baptism now saves you. In your baptism, Christ himself, through the instrumentality of a called servant, washed away your sins. There, he put his name on you. There, the sign of the cross was placed both upon your forehead and upon your heart, marking you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. His blood was shed for you. At your baptism, Yahweh Sabaoth promised that he would share in your sufferings and that you would share in his glory. At your baptism, Christ himself wrote your name in his book of life. Dear Christian friends, each and every day, remember what Christ has done for you. Remember your baptism. Live in it. When you witness a baptism in the name of the Holy Trinity, we had twins baptized last night, and we have another one at 10:30 this morning. Rejoice. Rejoice that another name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice that Yahweh Sabaoth has done this to you out of his great mercy. And then hear again his promise of old as he spoke it to Daniel. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. Because your name is written in heaven, your Lord will deliver you from this veil of tears to shine like the brightness of the sky above, like the stars forever and ever. There's one last thought about angels, and I've always enjoyed this one. So indulge me just another moment here. Angels have observed this saving work of Yahweh Sabaoth from the beginning, from an external perspective. You, on the other hand, you experience this salvation. In the washing of the water and the word, in the proclamation of absolution that your sins are forgiven, in the receiving of the fruit of the cross, the very body and blood of Christ given and shed for you, as the Holy Spirit calls you by the gospel and enlightens you with his gifts, you participate and experience this salvation of God. 1 Peter 1:12 tells us the angels, despite all of their vast power and heavenly perspective, are fascinated by God's plan to redeem humanity. They are fascinated and eagerly long to look into your salvation. They long to look into these things, even as they stand before the Father face to face, day in and day out. That thing that you and I experience and live in the forgiveness of sins, is something they resoundingly rejoice in watching, even when one sinner repents. And I know I'm a sinner, and I find myself repenting every day, which means I make the angel choir sing. And so do you, as we come before this Lord God of Sabaoth, repenting and receiving what Christ has done for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace that passes understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.